Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. No life.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Ollie Davis. And I'm joined. I just forgot what the. I'm a bit flustered. We just sat down. We had to run in here. Amin and overran. And I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation. And a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you, aside from being flustered?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How are you? I mean, you literally just said. I'm flustered.
Yeah, I'm over it now.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right then. How was your weekend?
Well, it was very good. I got to see you, buddy.
Yeah, that's right. Do you know what?
Wrestle Kingdoming.
Feels like a long old time ago now for some reason, even though it was literally 2 days ago. But yeah, we were here on Sunday reviewing Wrestle Kingdom. What a show it was.
I still haven't seen Ibushi, Okada, or Osprey Takahashi, and it's eaten away at me. And I had the chance to watch it last night. My lady partner was delayed getting home.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched the John Mulaney comedy special on Netflix instead, which I wholeheartedly recommend. He's done a Sesame Street style kids show made by adults.
Okay.
So it's him hanging out with a load of kids.
Yeah.
But it's really overproduced. They'll go into a musical number and have all these weird skits in between. And it's quite sad. Like, it'll just like. They'll be talking about how to count to the number 10 or why algebra is so good.
Mm.
And then it will cut to just a sort of Interatron shot of one of the kids against a backdrop. And John Mulaney is saying, so what is your biggest fear? And the kid will go, dying in my sleep. It's not for everyone.
No.
It sparked joy in me. So I'm gonna put that out as Ollie's recommendation of the day.
Do you know what my recommendation of the day is?
Probably something about people completing video games really fast.
Well, it is actually games.
I've seen it in the background.
It is awesome games done quick week. They've already had some great games on there.
Is currently. It always the first week of the year? I thought it was. I imagine it to be an April time.
Well,
thing.
They do awesome games of the year in January, and then summer games done. Sorry, awesome games done quick in January, and then summer games done quick in sort of July time, I think. But actually, no, that's not my recommendation of the week. My recommendation of the week is Under Consultation, the Games Master Retrospective podcast, which launched today.
He's worked in a cheap plug.
I have worked in a cheap plug for my own podcast, my own brand new show, the hashtag other content that I've been teasing for a few months now. It is finally here.
I do want to listen to it. I do want to get started on it. But I feel like I need to know about video games being turned into movies first. And I haven't got a resource that fills that gap.
I've plugged that book a couple of times on the podcast on Under Consultation. But also, like, because we're going all the way back to 1992, 1993 sees the release of Super Mario Brothers and Double Dragon, 94 Street Fighter, 95 is Mortal Kombat. I've got another avenue to plug my book that no one bought.
Yeah.
So well, I still get my very sad residual checks for that.
I bought one.
I know. Well, I know you did.
People bought them.
I know. But I get my very sad residual checks for like minus $12 every 6 months.
Minus $12?
I've told you this before. So my first residual check was for $68.
Nice.
And my second one was for minus $12. And then I just get them every now, because it's just retailers sending the book back. They're sending back unsold stock.
Mm.
So essentially, do you remember that bit in Iron Man and Partridge when his book gets pulped? That's effectively what's going to happen. I will bounce back. I will have the last laugh.
The last laugh.
But until then, my book is going to get pulped.
Oh, well, think of it as not the book not connecting with readers, because it definitely does when they get it in their hands. Think of it as a bad publishing deal. The man screwed you over, Luke.
Yeah. Do you know what else screwed me over? I haven't actually told this story yet.
Oh, dear.
My New Year's.
Ooh.
So I had a lovely New Year's. Right, I went round to my friend's house down in Lewis. It was very, very lovely.
I've been to Lewis.
We had, I was working New Year's Eve, as you well know. I was reviewing the bonkers Lana Lashley wedding angle. Was that right?
Yep.
Yeah?
What joy. Yeah, that was last Monday, so Tuesday would have been New Year's Eve. It feels like it's been a long year already.
That feels way long ago. Yeah. But so I reviewed that episode. Then I went home and I got through the door and I got changed. And I left. So I was at home for like 10 minutes before we were jumping into the car to travel down to Lewis. And I just threw on a shirt and a bow tie. And I was like, cool, we ready to go? And then my wife, beautifully glamorous as she always is, just absolutely a stunning vision, said, do I look 1920s enough? And I was like, why?
Uh-huh.
And she goes, it was a 1920s themed party. And I was like, is it? And she was like, yeah, you had the invitation. I was like, dear. I didn't read it.
Yeah, who reads the invitation? You're just like, okay, yeah. I'll come. When's the date? Sure.
Sure.
That's all you take from it.
All I'm thinking is there's a Lana Lashley wedding that I've got to. That's what I'm really invested in.
It should have been Lana Lashley wedding themed.
I know.
And to be honest, anything.
I didn't actually pick up on why we were having a 1920s themed party until like midway through the evening where I was like, oh, because we're heading into 2020. Mm. Right. Okay. I've now picked up on why we're doing this theme.
100 years.
Yes. But anyway, so I've discovered this far too late. It's too late for me to change now or to sort something else. So I'm like, and then about an hour into the journey, I said to my wife, I was like, am I going to look like a knob? Am I going to look like a knob because I've not dressed for the occasion?
How many people were at this party? Was it a huge Great Gatsby style event with hundreds of people where you just look awful if you're not dressed up? Or is it like six to eight friends?
16.
Ooh,
I would say,
no, that's too many.
I would say maybe 14 people. Ooh. Were
you
there.
Would have stuck out.
And yeah, absolutely, I would have done. But anyway,
a smaller number would have been in your favour, I think.
Yeah. But so we're driving down. I look down at my my dashboard and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to stop and get petrol. I think we could probably get there on this tank, but I'd rather just stop and do it now.
Why take the risk?
It's
just going to be
exactly.
A stress. For 5 minutes of filling up or all that stress.
Yeah. So pull into a service station, get out, get the little nozzle to pump it full of petrol, put the nozzle in. Press go full force as you always do.
Oh no.
Kick back. And it just went psh, and all this petrol spat out and went all over me.
Are you sure you're not in a 1980s John Candy movie?
I got sprayed by petrol. And
you're flammable. You were a fire hazard in that moment.
So I was like, I mean, this has never happened to me before. So I was like, I don't know what to do now in this situation. So I carried on filling up the car.
Petrol famously easy to remove from clothes.
And so then finished filling up the car, got, and I went to go into pay and I asked for some napkins and she was like, oh, did you get hit by the pump? Yeah, it's not very good, that one.
Well, put a sign on it, love.
That's what I thought. Anyway, so then I went into the toilet to try and like, because it went on my arm, so like, which was, it was exposed, so it was exposed
what
skin.
What colour was the shirt?
It was dark blue.
Okay.
And I was wearing black jeans.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, maybe I'll get away with it, but it was very smelly.
Oh, of course, the stench.
The stench. And so then I'd like try to wipe down my shirt, try to wipe down my jeans as best as I could when you're in a service station toilet, and then got into the car, told my wife this story. She thought it was quite funny. I went silent for a little while I was just a bit annoyed.
Angry Luke. I've seen him. It's very rare that Angry Luke comes out, but you do just go very quiet.
It's very quiet. Mm. And I could just smell petrol. That's all I could smell. And then I thought to myself, maybe it's just me. Maybe I can smell the petrol because I'm sat in my clothes. Yeah. But my wife sat next to me in the passenger seat. Maybe she doesn't. So I just said, do I smell like petrol?
Oh, no.
And she was like, do you want the honest answer?
Oh, no.
So I said, yeah, I do smell like petrol, don't I? So I arrive for this 1920s themed party. And the first thing I have to say is, can I have a shower? And I'm very sorry, but I'm going to have to put my pajamas on.
No.
Because I didn't have a change of clothes. And my clothes...
Was it that bad?
My clothes stank of petrol.
Oh.
And I then had to ask my friend's mum if I could use her washing machine so I could try and wash my clothes.
It was round your friend's parents' house.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And...
But sometimes mums love that.
I
have got by on many a weddings, as you know.
Yeah.
By endearing myself to people's mums and they do my ironing.
I played it off as a very charming thing.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, like we do it here at WrestleTalk, when we make a mistake, just lean into it.
Oh, yeah.
Lean into it and own that mistake. Because I wore my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles pajamas all evening.
That's 1920s themed.
And my favourite thing about this is, because everyone else is kind of dolled up to the nines, apart from me, in my PJs. I kept my bow tie on over my Dungeons & Dragons t-shirt. And, you know, partway through the evening, someone brought up the story. In fact, actually, it was my friend's parents brought up the story. And someone at the party was like, oh, is that why you're wearing pajamas? And I was like, yeah, I didn't just come to this party and be like, I've put my pajamas on, by the way.
Oh, Luke, with these pop culture references. I'm sure this works out somehow. I'm not nerdy enough to get how this works in a 1920s theme.
So, actually, yeah, that was my New Year's disaster, so to speak. But, you know, I've got these jeans. I'm wearing them now. They don't smell of petrol, so it did work out. My watch smelled for like about a week or those. I've only been able to put that back on. Anyway, let's get into the main show, shall we? Because there were a couple of big returns. Well, there was one big return and not so big.
Well, you mean, well, there was one big return.
Yep, and Sarah Logan. Anyway, here is the show.
First off was, of course, Sarah Logan.
I mean, yeah, well, let's talk about the big one first.
Let's kick off with Sarah. It was, what's the best word to describe it? I said unceremonious my review.
She didn't get an entrance. This was all about Charlotte Flair. This was I've got kind of conflicted thoughts on this episode of Raw. I thought it started off hot, and then it had what felt like 5 hours worth of squash matches, of which this was a part of. And it was Charlotte Flair essentially was walking down to the, you know, we saw her walking backstage and we're like, oh my God, it's the best person in the world. Charlotte Flair is coming out for a match. And it was a match against Sarah Logan. I was expecting this to be a short squash match. But it wasn't. What it ended up being was Sarah Logan showing a new character? Question mark?
Well, you don't want to beat her, do you? That will make her look bad.
Yeah.
So you just have her get beaten up by Charlotte outside of the confines of a match.
Very decisively.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's how you get people over.
This was, that's an actual brilliant word to say, it was unceremonious.
Mm. So, yeah, Sarah Logan hasn't been seen on Raw since July. I personally thought she was Ruby Riott's the best member of the Riott Squad. I think she's very, very good. But then it was Sarah Logan.
Yes.
And like she got so over with the live crowd, with us on that WrestleMania 35 pre-show Women's Battle Royal.
Loved it.
And she was honestly great. And we were so excited. We even thought she might win, but it was Carmella, wasn't it, who threw her out.
Yeah, it came down to her, Sarah Logan, and Asuka.
Yeah, or Sonya Deville had a really good show.
That's right,
too.
It was Sonya Deville. That's right. It was Sarah Logan and Sonya Deville. And Asuka, I think, were the final three. And then I think Asuka wins and Carmella comes in and trips over at the end, which obviously led to loads of storylines.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. But I, off the back of that, I always thought they were very good. But that proved to me that they do have what it takes to be an upper mid-carder in the women's division.
She deserves better.
Yeah. But no, there was no entrance. It was just, here is Charlotte Flair, cut to the ring. And there's, oh yeah, Sarah Logan's already in there.
Yeah.
Luckily, the security guards didn't try and tackle her.
I mean, let's be honest, it was either going to be her or Natalia.
Yes, yeah. Or, well, no. It could just be a random person. That's what Charlotte Flair's been doing for the last four or so weeks. Here's Deonna Purrazzo from NXT. Here's a little video package. Oh, get excited about her. Charlotte beat her. Here is Chelsea Green making her main roster debut. Get excited about her. No, Charlotte beat her. And then here's Sarah Logan coming back. I love Charlotte Flair. I think she's excellent. I prefer her much more as a heel. Mm-hmm. But this is just like, this is not doing any favors for her.
But I think you can say that for a lot of people on Raw at the moment, because Paul Heyman's is loving these squash matches, but he's doing it for everyone. Mm. So like, how can Eric Rowan stand out from Eric Rowan's squash matches stand out from Drew McIntyre's squash matches, or stand out from or the other squash, Aleister Black's squash match, or stand out from Charlotte Flair's squash match? And like, I know they've all got their own separate gimmicks, but they're all just winning squash matches.
Look, I actually loved this episode of Raw. I don't know if it was the 2 week break. this tends to happen. And
it's actually only 1 week. You've missed one episode.
You're right, yeah. It felt like long. and this has happened enough now where I know it is a trend in my own head where I really enjoy the first episode of Raw I watch after a week off.
Yeah.
So there's definitely something there. So there are too many squash matches. But when that was happening at the end of last year, and it happened a lot, I found them repetitive. Here, I almost saw them as just background dressing for the angle. I felt like all those segments that you just ran through had something in addition to, oh, it's just a squash match. It's actually a bit of storyline progression or a little bit of a character change. So I didn't so much mind it. Plus, we were spoilt for wrestling in the first hour of the show.
That's why I said I've got conflicting, because I agree, because I think there were too many squash matches, but at least they had something to them. But when it got to, when Aleister Black came out for another squash match, I did go, oh, come on. Like, let's move on, shall we? Let's try and do something other than more squash, because it was a huge block.
Yeah.
Like, if you had done the Rey Andrade match, then done a couple of squash matches, and then done the Street Profits tag match, and then a couple of squash matches, the show would have felt more balanced. But you did the excellent wrestling right at the start, and then an hour and a half of squash matches, and then your main events.
You're totally right. There's a much more effective way to pace that show.
Exactly, yeah.
But with Sarah Logan here, the match never got started. Charlotte just came down to the ring. Sarah attacked her. She's tweeted since, "I'm done with wrestling," which, you've got to respect us for not making a thumbnail out of that.
Oh, no, we just leave that to WrestleTalk.com.
We thought about it. It was so tasty. But she's obviously talking about being done with the sort of niceties of wrestling. She's going to be a brawler, be a fighter. That's what I got from that tweet.
Granted, yes. But let's not discount all the stuff that Liv was tweeting before her return.
I don't think they're going to put Sarah Logan in a Lana Lover storyline anytime soon.
All I'm saying is that, like, I kept saying, when we did the Lana episode last week, the wedding angle, me and Pete both said, I honestly don't know where this Sister Abigail thing came from. And then a lot of people got in touch with me being like, because Liv was tweeting that she was going to be Sister Abigail. And she was doing all of this stuff. And then it turned out it was this. So I think people running their own angles on Twitter doesn't always correlate to this is what creative has planned for you on next week's Raw.
Definitely, definitely. So that's Logan's new character. She beat Charlotte around the ring. The match hadn't even started. She started to stomp on Charlotte's robe.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's a tribute to a Flair.
Yeah, it was a gift. Well, they said it was a gift from Rick.
Yeah. Well, but like, what would Rick want? He'd want someone to elbow drop his own jacket.
Yeah, it's close.
But then Charlotte got on top, and you know, when you do this sort of angle, you do it so Charlotte can take a bit of a beating because Sarah Logan jumped her, and then Sarah Logan can stand tall. But they didn't. Charlotte just beat her up very definitively and then just stood over her, just nullifying any point of this segment. No one got more over. Charlotte looked, you know, just flat, and Sarah Logan looks rubbish.
I think the story that they're doing is that you're supposed to go into the Rumble thinking no one else but Charlotte is winning this. So you can then have a surprise winner, I guess.
I've got another theory.
Oh, what's your theory?
We've seen it so many times before that
she just wins.
Sarah Logan, Deonna Purrazzo, and Chelsea Green are going to make a new faction.
The new Riot Squad.
And then they're all done with wrestling. And they're going to go after Charlotte.
Yeah.
And that's babyface Charlotte's first feud because she can't just face one person. That's unbelievable.
All those three people she's already beaten.
Exactly. The much more enjoyable return. I loved it. You seem to be a bit more down on it. Because it's a big show in 2020, and I get that.
That's exactly it. Like, you know, hey, I didn't see it coming.
Mm.
When they were teasing, there's a third man, I was like, man, who could it be? And I was running through various different people that it could be. I never would have said Big Show if you'd have given me 50 guesses. I think if you'd have given me 100 guesses, I don't think I would have said Big Show. So from that standpoint, it completely worked because I didn't see it coming. And also, I'm going to completely melt to this situation. He was the most over thing in that match.
Yeah.
By leaps and bounds. That crowd were not into Kevin Owens. They were not into Samoa Joe. They were not into AOP and Seth beating up those two. But they were into Big Show. And they wanted to see Big Show get that hot tag. And they wanted to see Big Show do his Big Show spots. So it got over with this crowd. First, a thumbs up.
Yeah. A big thumbs up.
A Big Show thumbs up.
And I thought it was actually really well teased throughout the show.
Yeah.
Because the first we saw of it, Caruso alert, Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe, Ultra Unit.
I've even written in my notes, Ultra Unit.
They back together after that one brief shot of Triple H talking to them both backstage 2 years ago.
Yeah. Hey, man, it paid
They're
off.
They're there. Right.
Long-term storytelling.
And Joe's like, I've got a third guy, don't worry, for the Seth Rollins AOP six-man later on.
I like Kevin Owens, because yes, Joe said, like, we're challenging AOP and Seth to a six-man tag. And Kevin Owens is like, I mean, I see us, but I don't think Charlie's wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah. But there is a better version of this. I think, you know, if Joe and Owens were given some leeway here, they could be really funny together.
Mm-hmm.
But this wasn't the best version of them.
No.
But it was funny.
I liked it. I actually really liked it.
And then, like, later on,
Kevin Owens wants to know who the third man is. And he's like, do you know what? I'd feel so much more comfortable of this situation if I knew who the third man was.
Mm.
And so Joe was like, hey, well, let's go see him. And it's like, so they go into the office, or go into this little like locker room area. They knock on the door. Kevin Owens walks in. Charlie's like following around, trying to get an interview. Kevin Owens walks out with a big smile on his face, like, now I'm happy. And they walk off in glee. And then, yeah, we got the main event later on. And I liked it because Charlie was like, who is it? Who is it? I want to know who it is. Mm. I thought they really built this tease, which is why I don't think a lot of people were happy that it was Big Show.
Ah, okay. Well, I mean, I've...
Online, not in the building. The building loved it.
I haven't seen that reaction online. But I totally get why people would think that. It's Big Show back. But look, the Royal Rumble's around the corner. How is anyone going to throw that man over the top rope?
Eric Rowan's in there. Brock Lesnar's in there.
So AOP and Seth Rollins come out. Seth Rollins calling himself the Monday Night Messiah.
I love that.
I love it.
That's great.
It's really, really good.
I also love it as well. I think this is a bit of a subtle thing as well. Because his entrance has always been doing that.
Mm.
But he's now changed it to it's more like this.
Ah.
And it's a really nice, subtle change into this Messiah complex that he's got.
That is good.
Yeah.
Rah, rah. And then out comes Joe, out comes Owens. Who's it going to be? Well, I was... First of all, I just had a big smile on my face. Then he walked down and he could go in the ring. He looks taller.
Yeah.
Because AOP were in there. And he was so much taller than them. And I just see AOP as these very tall guys anyway. And they are legit tall. Mm-hmm. But he towered over them.
And we've now into an era where Big Show is entering his fourth decade as an in-ring wrestler.
Incredible.
Absolutely. Like that, it's staggering. And he doesn't look like he has aged since, you know, the early 2000s, really. He looks just as good then as he does, actually, better even.
And for a man of his size with who used to, you know, he had the gigantism thing fixed, didn't he?
Something like that. But that, you look at, you know, what, 15 years ago, there were stories that he couldn't get on flights because he was just in so much pain and he couldn't sit down for too long. And he was just like just lying down on the floor in locker rooms because he just was in so much physical agony. All the weight that he put on.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of people who, like, you know, thought, I don't think how many more years he's got in ring.
Mm.
And yet here we are, 2020. Big Show's in the main event of Raw. And looked really good.
Yeah.
Looked great.
His knees looked absolutely fine. He was protected. I can't remember him taking a single proper bump, but It was the big show show, wasn't
it? Oh, yeah.
It?
Everyone was the planes around King Kong. Yeah. Like, that was what this was.
Owens took most of the heat, and then he made the hot tag to Big Show. Show cleared house. He looked great. Caught Seth Rollins in midair. Even, like, went to do the same to AOP. Rollins hits him with a chair for the DQ loss. But then Show hits the knockout punch on him, and Seth is dragged up the ramp completely lifeless by AOP. Seth's been very, very good.
Yeah.
He's not the heel I thought he would be. I thought he'd be a bit more goofy and wacky. So I'm surprised at how much I'm liking this version he's done. So I'm pleasantly surprised.
And we're getting a rematch next week, a six-man rematch in a fist fight. But no one knows what the rules of this is. Jerry even says, what are the rules to that match? And Vic's like, I don't know.
What are the rules?
We'll find out next week as a little tease for you to tune in for next week.
But I just a little prediction. I think Big Show will feature in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. I mean, they said he's back.
Yeah.
This was not like a one-off appearance. They did say, Big Show is back. Big Show is back on Raw. Big Show's back wrestling.
And it's such a Paul Heyman move.
And, Going back to the 90s.
Yeah. Or 2004, whatever it was. I think we might see this as one, like, Big Show's final run. Mm-hmm. This could, because he looks in great condition, but I think maybe he's done that for the final run. And I hope he gets his Shaq match at WrestleMania.
We had the Shaq thing, though. He had it in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal at WrestleMania 20, whatever it was, in Dallas.
But that was to set up the proper singles match.
It's never going to happen.
I hope it does.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
So thank you to our $25 a month or more pledge hammers on Patreon, Adam and the Anthony Bergeron.
There he is, whoa, Prince Charming. Kratos' forgotten son, Chris Bertrand.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Luke's favourite fan, the one, the only, the awesome Bubba.
Nice. No one names their kid this anymore, Larry.
No. Whoa. All Mania Club members, except for DeMario North.
It's his name suggestion.
Thank you.
He gets it. The next gen Hornet, Nick Andrews.
Whoa, thanks, Nick. Don't have a Shane Cowley, man.
Yeah, don't have it, man. 5 feet of awesomeness, Alexa Sanborn.
Thank you, Alexa.
Thank you, Alexa.
Heroic Hector Machado.
Oh, he's heroic. The 99%er, Garrett Vandercrift.
Yeah, Garrett. Badasaurus Rex.
Badassasaurus.
Badassasaurus Rex. I prefer my one. Joseph Calmarin. Great name.
Nice. And lastly, Rob Steiner Recliner.
Thank you, everybody. If you want to become a pledge hammer on Patreon, get your own shout out, go over to our Patreon page where there's loads of exclusive content.
We're likely going to be reviewing Royal Rumble 2001 if the poll is in. I mean, it's leading by 30%. It's definitely winning.
Anyway, should we get on to some super chats?
Well, we do indeed. JobberJJ496, Ollie Davis' number one fan, says, surprise, show didn't turn heel and face during the match.
Yeah, I was like, is he a heel? Of course he's a face. He's come out with Joe and Owens.
The AdNap2 says, it was a night of returns and show had a big one.
The biggest one.
The biggest one. Raw Miscellaneous, so you using a Davisism. Tim Arndt says, I'm picturing the end of the Rumble like this. The final two men are Lesnar and Reigns with the idea that we'll cheer Roman because we don't want Brock to win. That's not what I want to happen, though.
I don't think anyone wants that to happen. It's, yeah.
That's one of my predictions.
There are so... That's what's going to happen, though, so we should start preparing ourselves for it. But we'll get on to it. I think this Lesnar thing is a masterstroke of booking.
Wilson Simons, I like this. Was I the only one who thought the mystery partner was going to be Aleister Black? I thought it was because they're pretty much confirmed when they knocked on a door.
That would have tied in quite nicely, but yeah.
Actually, and obviously for me, it's way better.
Yeah, yeah.
It's putting over a new star as opposed to going back to the well.
I get that, yeah. I honestly had so much nostalgic glee. And that doesn't happen to me that often because I'm quite cynical with returning legends and how WWE use them. Mm. But for whatever reason, I was transported a bit to when I was a kid.
And you know, I mean, I'm not only in support of it because it got massively over with, bigly over, if you will, with this audience. But Heyman's done so well with Ray, in this sort of like nostalgia legend run, that I'm actually quite excited to see what Heyman can do with Big Show in 2020.
Yeah.
I'm quite optimistic for what they where they go. We'll do a couple. Maybe we'll do one more. This is from Michael Dominguez, who says, "Show makes Joe and Kevin Owens look weak. Main events next week."
Say that again.
Show makes Joe and Kevin Owens look weak.
What for? You mean for the main event next week?
Well, I think he just means it because like this. Big Show essentially overshadowed both of them, and those two were the ones that got beaten up, and Show just got in and beat everyone. Like beat all three of them up on his own, which kind of then does downplay Joe and Kevin Owens.
You're right. Yeah, it does. I think it's awkward to put myself in a position where I usually am on the opposite side, but no one's going to remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no,
they're going to remember Big Show, Owens, and Joe standing tall at the end.
Completely, it's how you leave them. We'll do this last one actually, because this one comes in from JJ, because it kind of ties into what we've been saying here. This is the least interested I've been for the Royal Rumble / Mania. No new stars. No hope. Lesnar being in the Rumble is exciting, but he's going to win.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's get into that now then. So Raw opened with this just masterful angle, I thought, of Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman coming out to open the year, the decade, really. And Paul Heyman said, well, first he said, Happy New Year to you bitches, to the crowd. And then he said, everyone wants to know who Brock's going to face at Royal Rumble. He's not going to face anyone, actually. He's not going to defend his WWE title. He's going to enter the Royal Rumble match.
Yeah. Now, this has caused some confusion because I saw like Kenny McIntosh was tweeting about this earlier, that a few people think that Brock is defending the title in the Rumble.
No.
But Brock is just entering the Rumble. He's not defending the title.
Yeah. Now, that alone, I honestly would be quite upset about and annoyed because it's rubbish. However, Heyman then said, and my client is so confident in his own abilities, he's going to enter at number one.
Yeah.
And that just blew my freaking mind.
And I love that because Heyman essentially just starts listing off. Like, you're going to get all of the dream matches you want in this one moment. So all of a sudden, I'm starting to think, so, you know, the rumor is it's going to be 10 Raw, 10 SmackDown, 10 NXT. I'm like, man, if Keith Lee's in there.
Matt Riddle.
Ciampa's in there. Matt Riddle's in there. Dijakovic's in there. Like, you know, there's a list of people. Kushida, like, you know, some of these, like, I'm looking there being, yeah, I hope, because we're talking about this in the office. The current theory in the office is that he's going to go out straight away. Like Randy, Randy's big theory is that Cain Velasquez is going to enter at number two and eliminate him straight away, because if there's the only thing we know about Brock is that Brock does not wrestle for a lengthy amount of time.
Yes.
Let alone do an hour-long rumble.
Yeah, so he'll probably just sit on the sides, Roman style, for ages. Sorry, I was just distracted here by a breaking tweet from WrestleVotes that Datsun's just sent me. Source says WWE is doing this Lesnar in the Rumble angle as a way to set up Brock's Mania matchup. I think we all figured that.
Yeah, yeah.
Which could signal it's against someone from SmackDown or NXT, as Heyman mentioned a few times last night. Opens up a world of possibilities. Also says Brock isn't winning.
And WrestleVotes are very, very good for their rumor and innuendo.
Yeah. I mean, another thing we didn't put in there, Goldberg. Goldberg coming down, just having a brief stare off between those two bulls.
I think I'm done with no, because I'm all for Brock Goldberg, for Goldberg Riddle now.
Oh, I'm not saying as the last thing, like it goes down to those two. I'm just saying as a spot in a 30-man match.
Okay.
And then Matt Riddle can come down.
Yeah.
And you have those three stare off.
Oh, okay. Well, now
we're in. Now we're in.
Now, as soon as you add Matt Riddle in there, I'm interested.
I am so into this idea. I mean, look. There are ways they can fluff this, but I really hope they don't. And I think, because all the reports forever have been Roman Reigns is gonna win the Rumble, he's gonna main event Mania again. It makes, you know, it's, I can see how that would make sense in Vince's mind.
Mm-hmm.
Roman wins by eliminating Brock, but just think, if you had Brock enter at number one, and I'm just gonna pluck this name, but it's actually who I really want, and Aleister Black as number two. And they just last to the end.
Yeah.
And then Black throws out Lesnar in the final bit. You've made a star. You've made a guy.
Big Show is in the main event of this show.
Yeah, maybe Aleister Black isn't the one. But I haven't been this excited for a WWE piece of storytelling for quite a while.
Brock being in the Rumble has made me more excited for the Rumble than any of the other announcements they've made for this show thus far. I think this is really, really great stuff, and I'm really excited for it. I think if I was to throw a level of criticism on this, it's not on this segment, it's not on this storyline, but it's maybe a criticism as a bigger picture overall, is that Heyman during this promo said that we don't know who's going to face Brock for the title because no one is man enough to face him. No one is worthy enough to face him. You know, he effectively says no one is on Brock's level at the moment. Mm. And really, he's right. Me and Pete had this chat last week where we said, like, well, it's not going to be Seth, Joe, or Owens because they're involved in their own thing. Who else could face Brock Lesnar? Like, there is no one else on Raw that feels like they are main event worthy status.
Well, that's where you get some more disappointment potentially cropping in. I think Rey could be an option as a rematch, they've done that.
They've done that.
And, of course, Cain Velasquez.
Yeah.
Cain Velasquez comes in at number 30, throws out Brock. Maybe doesn't win the Rumble, but that's how you set up Velasquez versus Lesnar. I don't care about that in the slightest.
No. But they stopped him going to AEW, so, you know, it's a win, really.
Two more bits to talk about for this. Heyman said, and this is crucial, that Brock winning isn't a prediction, it's a spoiler. That is the most protected move in all of WWE, because every time Heyman has said that, it's come to pass.
We think. No one has yet to prove us wrong on that.
Yeah.
No one has found an example of it where he hasn't done it.
So, you know, by that rule, Lesnar's winning. Or, you know, it's a very momentous change. And if he does win, he'd have won both the Money in the Bank and the Royal Rumble in one sort of WrestleMania season. Then Heyman and Brock walk off, and they walk past the commentary table. I got so excited because Paul Heyman then started talking to Jerry Lawler. And I thought, we're getting a three-man booth with Heyman.
Yeah.
I was so, so excited. He was just there to walk past the camera. It was and now that's all I want. I think Heyman should be on that Raw commentary team.
He would liven things up. I really like Vic Joseph, but King is adding nothing on commentary for me at the moment.
Bad last night, I thought.
Yeah.
After this, we got a excellent opening, I thought, and then we got a brilliant match. pay-per-view caliber match between Rey Mysterio and Andrade.
This was, I mean, I've just written here, amazing action, as you'd expect. Like, this was just absolutely stunning stuff.
I am amazed at how they keep on coming up with new spots that I haven't seen. There was a sort of raising an electric chair position on Andrade's shoulders. He rolls through, Andrade goes face first into the steel steps.
I loved Rey's run off the apron, leaping Hurricane Rana into the barricade. And I thought, that's nuts. What an incredible spot. And then they literally follow that up a couple of seconds later with a sunset flip powerbomb on the apron into the ring post. And I was like, that was even more nuts. That was amazing.
Rey Mysterio's on the apron. Andrade gets up to the top rope to do the stomp on him, but then goes over to the ring post to hit it on him, but misses. Oh, just brilliant. Halfway through the match, I'd say, Rey had Andrade beat. Can't speak. But Vega put his leg on the ropes. Referee called for the, like, said it's over, but then he restarted the match on seeing that.
Yeah.
It's inconsistent with WWE's rules, but it was so much fun, and it did heighten the action. Potentially overbooked there, but that's pretty harsh. But the finish came when Rey missed Andrade and went into Vega.
So he hit the 619. Vega pulls Andrade out the ring. So Rey then just tries to do the sit down move on him. Mm-hmm. But Andrade catches him and then just lifts him over, and he just crumples into Vega on the floor. And then it's a bit of, I felt it was a bit clunky, this finish, because like they both sort of got back in the ring, and then Rey, so he then went to do the hammerlock DDT, but the ref stopped him. So then Rey got out of the ring to apologize to Vega, then got back in the ring and just got hit by the hammerlock DDT. I don't think the finish completely worked. It actually took me out of the match a little bit, but it protects Rey in defeat. Mm. You know, Rey had a visual pin and got screwed in the end. Makes Andrade look a bit rubbish, but I thought the match was excellent.
I think what I was surprised by was how strong they made Rey look, not just in those little pin angles, but throughout the whole match. He was he took 80% of the match. Mm-hmm. It's so different to WWE's usual heel takes 80% of the match to give the babyface some heat when he comes back. So really, really liked it. I agree. I think there was a missed timing issue or someone forgot a bit, because Rey should be backing off from that, oh no, what have I done to Zelina Vega? I have hit a woman.
Yeah.
And then Andrade gets him.
Completely.
But it didn't work out that way. But then Andrade took off Rey's mask.
Yeah.
I think we're building to a... Well, title versus mask. I hope they go full apuestos.
Hair versus mask.
Hair versus mask.
Because they were doing this last year, weren't they? They were going to do... I think it was with Rey as well. They were going to do hair versus mask with Andrade and Rey.
With Dominic just lurking around in the background.
Have you seen Dijakovic on Twitter constantly calling, like, always calling Ray his dad, being like, thanks for the shout out, dad, because his first name's Dominic.
I'm very into this feud. I thought it was a brilliant match. Mm-hmm. The finish was slightly botched, but it was so good, you know. Yeah. Just get past it. Then we get Joe and Owens doing their little third man tease, another Caruso alert with Seth and AOP. They look great together.
I like the unit. Yeah.
AOP in the suits and Seth in the leather jacket.
Yep.
It works.
Proper 2000 Triple H heel.
Then we got the Street Profits versus the OC versus the Viking Raiders in a tag title match.
Good stuff, this. Yeah, good stuff. Good. Yeah, it was pretty good.
I totally agree with you now, though. You should put some of those squash matches in between these two matches.
It really would have balanced this show out a lot better.
But big announcement. The Miz is going to be on WWE backstage.
Well, they saw those record low numbers that they got last week. They were like, wow, we need to drastically change the pace here. And The Miz is the way to do that.
That'll put butts in seats, I've written. Well, you know, he was one of the shining lights of Talking Smack.
We're being facetious.
So, he's not going to draw any viewers. We're not saying he won't be good. He'll be really, really good. Heel Miz, I'm glad he's back, because babyface is not the best use of him.
Oh, well, he'll be there to talk about those potential rumours that John Morrison's coming back to WWE that Corey Graves was talking about on SmackDown, that you reported on in your own show that he was signed again.
It was a good match. Anderson took the loss.
Yeah, unsurprising.
Street Profits, insane charisma.
Yeah, I loved Ford's promo. I thought it was a really good start, like the way to kick off the and they got their new catchphrase of the profits are up and we want the smoke. I also really enjoyed the cartwheel off between Montez Ford and Hanson. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I think Street Profits, their style lends itself even more to an in-ring promo than a backstage one. So they should do that more.
And they didn't get Dawkins to talk about multiverse realities this time, so we didn't forget his lines.
Then we got Joe showing Owens who the third man is. I was loving the show up until this point. I thought, man, this is a genuine 5 out of 5 show right now. Then Becky Lynch came out, dressed as Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Well, not dressed as Kill Bill, but dressed as the bride. And she cut an in-ring promo saying, you know, I convinced management to give me this shot against Asuka. Now I don't know if I'm good enough. I thought, what? What a rubbish thing to say.
I like this segment.
Oh, no, I hated it.
Because I think she was suckering Asuka in. She went out there to be like, I think I might have made an error with this.
I guess so.
And then Asuka comes down, full-on cocky Asuka, doing the dance, cutting a promo on her in Japanese, thinking she's the queen of the world. And Becky just gives her a quick right hand, knocks it down in one punch, which really, really angers Asuka. So Becky Lynch walks away being like, oh, I made my point. I actually thought, I'm not going to say it was a home run segment, but I liked it.
You've convinced me a little bit. Yeah, I didn't think, well, it didn't play that way to me. I actually thought Lynch was having a bit of a crisis of confidence, which isn't this story.
Yeah, but maybe she was working you.
Yeah, well, it sounds like she must have been. But I tell you one way to not work me.
Yeah.
And that is, don't introduce your own goddamn video package as a babyface.
Yeah.
She came out and she said, well, you know, I'm having a crisis of confidence. Just take a look at this. And what can be more off-putting than a anti-establishment, anti-corporate babyface than introducing a video package she made earlier? Oh, I hate it.
I know, mate. I know.
Eric Rowan, I didn't hate this, though. Eric Rowan is walking backstage. Do you want to do his scream?
From last week. He didn't do it this week. I thought it was his new character. I'm actually kind of disappointed that it's not. Because it was the most over thing last week of just... Raw!
Was it over with you and Pete? Or was it over everywhere?
And the super chat.
he's walking around backstage with the cage under the cloth. And Mojo Jojo Rawley says, let me have a look in there, mate. And despite being very anti that all of last year, he's like, yeah, sure, here you go. And Mojo gets to have a look. Sells it brilliantly.
Yeah.
Falls backwards. It's like, what the hell is wrong with you, man? Yeah.
Kind of ruins my theory that it's a fluffy kitty.
Mm.
Yeah.
Then Rowan just walks off smiling.
Yeah. We got an interview with Not Renee with Andrade and Vega. Andrade, brilliant, what a heel. Cuts a promo in Spanish because...
I don't know what he said.
And so then Rey Mysterio attacks him, takes his mask back and puts it back on.
Yeah.
I thought Vega's selling of this was really good.
Rey's sort of fire as well in the brawl was really good.
So, let's go through some of these squash matches. Eric Rowan beat, what was his name?
KJ Orso.
Okay, so he beat him very quickly. Iron Claw Slam. And then after the match, grabbed him and said, you want to look in the thing, don't you? And then he shows it to him and the guy... freaks out and runs away.
Doesn't just freak out and runs away, Luke. He falls backwards with a viscous red liquid all over his face. And he's screaming. What the hell's going on there? It's not going to have a satisfactory payoff. It's not going to work. But you know what? I'm now into it.
I'm so over it.
My mind... Because it was just... What I didn't like was, oh, it's something in the box. Don't look at it. We had that for like 2 months. Now, at least it's something different now. There's a development. That's all I wanted.
This development should have happened a month ago.
Yeah, it should have done. Then we got AJ Styles versus Akira Tozawa. Silly me.
You thought this was going to be Akira Tozawa getting a good showing against AJ Styles and then losing.
I thought all I wanted, 5-minute match. Because Akira Tozawa at the moment is the master of the 5-minute Raw match where he looks really good, but he loses. And that doesn't actually really affect him. But we didn't even get that. It was like 1 minute, AJ did the sort of RKO Viper up to tease Randy Orton and RKO'd for a win.
So the story is AJ had the match won twice, I believe. Like, I think he had him pinned, lifted the shoulder up, went to hit the Styles Clash, decided against it. Instead hit the draping DDT, then did the Randy Orton Viper pose and pinned him with an RKO. So he was there to send a message to Randy to further that feud.
I'm loving that feud. I think it's being beautifully told, really well timed between weeks.
I got so worked last week. Completely.
Good angle, wasn't
it? It was really, really good.
Yeah, I was really worried because the camera seemed to linger on AJ for ages after this. Mm-hmm. Like it was the main event of SmackDown and they've underrun. And I was thinking, all right, Orton's going to come out of nowhere. But I was begging it not to happen. And it didn't. So I was really, really happy that this is just a little morsel of a chapter for the larger story. I think they're fighting next week as well.
Yeah. I actually thought they were going to save this until Mania.
Yeah, same.
But like based on the promos they did last week, I thought we're getting Styles Orton 2 at Mania.
I doubt we're having a proper blow-off match next week. But there wasn't a Randy, but there was something else from out of nowhere.
Yeah.
AJ is walking up the ramp, and behind him, you see this guy in a suit just slide into the ring. Like Rey Mysterio doing the baseball slide out, the penguin slide outside. He looked like he was running in there. And then it cuts to the hard cam, and this guy is already being tackled by two security guards, also in suits, who weirdly looked like the AOP.
I thought it
from
was.
From that angle.
I thought AOP had hit the ring to attack Akira Tozawa after the match.
And then the camera didn't know what was happening. So rather than cut away, like they normally do for a sort of ring invader fan thing, they cut closer. Because I've watched this a lot. This honestly made my night. Then the camera just doesn't know what to do, so it just kind of pans away to the crowd. Like, ooh. Like it was the end of a show. Yeah. And it was... What had happened? It wasn't a fan. It was the sort of priest wedding officiator guy from last week's Lana and Bobby Lashley wedding segment getting into the ring to prepare for the next segment.
Yeah.
And security thought he was a guy running in and tackled.
In fairness, he got in way early. Like,
and
AJ hadn't finished his segment yet.
Take the steps. Just walk normally round the ring and up the steps. Don't freaking slide in there like you're getting yourself over. It tickled me. And then some.
Yeah. We got a recap of Lana and Lashley's wedding. It was our second one of the night because big, big ratings draw last week. And then Lana and Lashley come out and they say that they're going to get married again because last week it wasn't really official because people kept interrupting. Yeah. The priest was there to get some Oklahoma heat. I'm going to assume it was a football thing. Like he said Oklahoma. I thought they were in Oklahoma and then the crowd booed. So... I don't know.
Maybe it's Washington.
Mate, could be. Where Daniel Bryan's from.
Yeah.
And he announces them as husband and wife, and then he leaves. And then Lana cuts a promo saying that this should be the happiest day of her life. And Lashley cuts a promo on Rusev. And then all of a sudden, I really enjoyed this. Rusev said, "Hi, it's Rusev of Rusev Day." Really made me laugh. He's against a green screen. Now, are we supposed to know it was a green screen, or are we supposed to think he was on a beach?
Neither work. Well, no, the version where he films this doing a like a sort of live stream thing on his phone from a beach works. This doesn't work at all. This was not funny. I love Rusev. But yeah, he's just on a very poorly green screened background of a static beach image. Probably the same one that the Shining Stars used to use for their Puerto Rico come to discover the jewel. What was it? The Jewel of the Sea.
That was a terrible gimmick. I don't
know. I actually quite liked it. I just like Primo and Epico, though.
Yeah.
And he says, "Don't worry, I've got your wedding present."
So we recap the angle, recap the wedding for a third time. But I'm sick of seeing it by this point.
All the unflattering pictures of Lana.
Which we had in the other two angles, and the other two recaps.
And then it cuts back to him, and he's like, "Huh, good thing, right?" And it's just, it was dying a death. And then Bobby, like Lana starts, Lana was excellent, by the way, in her role. She starts to shout at Rusev. Bobby says, "Shut up."
Yeah, tells Lana to shut up. And Lana's telling of that was great.
Yeah.
I said this last week. I'm going to say it again. Lana's been the best thing in this whole storyline because
Agreed.
She's the only one that cares.
Yeah.
And she's the only one who is throwing herself in 110%.
Mm.
And I think she's selling this whole storyline. I don't think the other two are that bothered by it, but I think she's really selling it and making it work.
They're treating it as a joke.
Yeah.
And she's taking it seriously. And I commend her for that. But Bobby Lashley goes into serious promo mode. I'm going to beat you up next week because they're having a match next week as well. Big stack show for next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently they're up against some, I think it's the college football competitions. college football finals, they have like loads of bowls
around. And this is like the Mega Bowl one?
Yeah, it's the Mega Super Bowl Rose, I think.
That's the one, the World Series, where only American teams compete.
Usually WWE just phone it in when they know they've got competition, but they're actually trying to put on a good show for a change. And Rusev tears off freaking Hawaiian shirt he had and says the Bulgarian Brute is returning next week and he's going to beat Lashley up. And then we cut backstage the Caruso alert.
I will say, I don't think this was a good follow-up to the wedding angle from last week.
No, apart from the wedding officiator getting tackled by security by mistake, this wasn't good. He did the whole thing like nothing had happened.
Yeah.
What a pro. Well done, man. but then we go backstage. R-Truth is now the most... He's had more titles than anyone in WWE history.
Like anyone could care, honestly.
And then Liv Morgan walks in before he's got a chance to reply and says, well, if Lana's going to be in Lashley's corner, Rusev's going to need someone in his corner. I can live for that.
Yeah, that's a moment I'll live for or something like those lines.
It's not very good.
And she didn't get a reaction at all, which suggests to me, because we said this last week, she didn't get a reaction when she came out last week either, because no one knew who she was, despite all these video packages. Even a week later, I still don't know if people know it's Liv Morgan.
She looks like a different person.
Yeah.
I said she looks like WWE's promotional graphics department have done a drawing of Liv Morgan.
Yes, that's it, yeah.
Where it's Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
It must be a makeup thing. It wasn't good. But it'll be interesting to see them all in a match next week or involved in a match.
I think the storyline is running until Mania.
Yeah,
I think they're going to do the mixed tag at Mania. Yeah.
Charlotte versus Sarah Logan was next. We've already covered that. Then we got something that was very good.
More squash matches.
But with a... I don't care if it completely trashes his character from before.
So I know. But this character was started last week.
Okay.
So this isn't new. This is just a continuation of what was started last week. So Drew's a babyface now.
Cool.
And I'm slightly disappointed because his gimmick last week was, look at my sexy body. And he was like, basically his gimmick last week was that mums love him and that mums are attracted to him. Because he even goes up to this mum at ringside, look at my sexy body. They didn't do any of that this week, but he is doing the 3-2-1 into the Claymore.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people thought last week, because I said it's his new gimmick. A lot of people said, no, he's counting down because it's New Year. Turns out it is just his new gimmick. I said it's the broke thing. It's to get people, it's the boom clap. It's, you know, it's getting people to chant along before he does his finishing move. And it was over on both times that he did it. It's really worked.
It's a really cliche, gimmicky thing to do. 3-2-1. But yeah, it works. And, you know, in a
crowds
month's time.
I love counting.
And it's easy to do. it's tuning up the band with Shawn Michaels. That one was cool, though. This is not cool, but it gets the crowd involved. You can't really argue with that. It's pretty basic stuff, but it works.
We haven't even said who he beat.
Hmm?
We haven't even said who he beat.
Oh, yeah, so he beat up No Way Jose. I was sold on him when he started beating up the conga line.
Yeah, he beat up the sex party. And then, he beats No Way Jose very quickly and then says, I think we should do one more Claymore because we're here in Oklahoma. Crowd chant one more time. He said, he goes, I'm not going to apologize to all the sex party, but maybe the cheeseburger. He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he said, I hate conga lines. Well, maybe not cheeseburger.
Yeah.
But it wasn't cheeseburger from Ring of Honor.
Sadly
it was
not.
A guy dressed as a cheeseburger.
So
just on the 3-2-1 thing, they were building up Drew McIntyre's Claymore as the new out of nowhere finisher against Randy Orton just a month ago.
Oh, yeah. His promo. I forgot about that promo. That led to nothing.
Mm.
It was a promo to start a feud between Randy Orton and AJ Styles.
So this is the complete opposite of from out of nowhere. This is, I'm going to give you a lead in to know when it's happening. So if anyone thinks this was part of a longer idea... You're probably mistaken.
Did you see, speaking of that, CM Punk posted on Instagram the original WrestleMania 30
card
that had him, Triple H, Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus, just to really fully, for the last time, dispel this notion that WWE keep telling us that was the plan all along, that Bryan was going to win the title at WrestleMania.
Yeah. And then we got Aleister Black versus Shelton Benjamin. It was a squash match. I liked the story of this match. I thought they were going to go longer. story of the episode, I guess, where it was like Black was trying to beat Benjamin at amateur wrestling. And he was getting the better of Shelton. And, you know, that's Shelton's game. So Shelton's like, I'm going to start striking you. Gets in a striking battle with Black, Black Mass. I thought that that's a really good story, actually, that should have been told over a longer time.
To Meltzer this, in the same way that we've done throughout the show, it didn't get over.
Yeah, I get. Well, yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, and I am so into Black and Murphy. And yeah. Murphy jumps Aleister Black right after the bell, and he beats him down. Awesome V-trigger into a chair. Does this cool cross-legged sit-down pose over Black's
dead body. Yeah, he does the Black pose like on the barricade. It was really, really cool stuff that is just not getting over with the crowd. I don't know what it is about the WWE crowd that is not into Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy, but we've seen it time... In the lead-up to TLC, it wasn't getting over. It didn't get over at TLC. Last week, when they started their match, crowd were completely dead, but did get into it by the end.
Mm.
And then here we are again a week later, no one's into it again.
I think, unfortunately, it wasn't the right idea to put these two guys in a feud together. They're not established in mainstream viewers' eyes. You need to have them feud with people who, like Seth Rollins, AJ Styles. They need to have feuds with those first, build them up independently of each other, then have the clash.
I want to put them in a feud with AJ Styles. Look at Cedric and Umber.
Yeah. it's great. I cannot wait for their next encounter. I love all the stuff they do, but it's dying a death in front of the live crowd. And then we got the main event with the Big Show. Overall, I gave it a high 4 out of 5.
Wow, a high 4 out of 5.
Optimistic Ollie.
Mate, that is a week off Ollie.
Yeah.
That really is. Maybe watching this show every 2 weeks is the best thing for you.
Yeah, well, cycle me out. Let me see. What did you think? So I'll get up the community tab results.
I enjoyed the first few... I enjoyed from Brock until the end of the tag match so much that I would give this an average. But I was done with squash matches.
Yeah.
I groaned when Aleister Black came out for yet another squash match. So... And a Big Show, I thought it got over with the live crowd, but it does little for me in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of excited to see what, you know, Paul Heyman could do with him, but it's, I don't know. So I think I probably would have gone with an average.
55% went for average, skewed a bit higher with 24% saying core.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
I'd say a good start to the year, though. I'm excited about the direction of Raw.
Right, let's get into your super chats. Dwayne Cooley said, I haven't been watching Raw, but thanks to your reviews, I know it was Asuka in those squashes and not Charlotte. Don't want harsh corrections.
It was Asuka in those squashes?
Not Charlotte.
Oh, do they wish it was Asuka winning these squash matches?
No, he said, thanks to your reviews, I know it was Asuka in those squash matches, not Charlotte.
Do you know what that means?
I'm afraid I do not. But thank you for watching.
Thank you, Dwayne.
Yeah. Demon Eye says, Big Show should win the Andre the Giant Memorial to go out. Like, it's his final thing. He's won it before. He won the second one.
Yeah. That's, I'd like him to get a proper singles match send-off. Probably against Kane, let's be honest.
Metal Bear thinks that Lesnar is going to win the Rumble, then Raw after Mania will begin Brocky 2 belts.
Oh, my God. Yeah, just everyone gets sacrificed to the throne of Lesnar, even the Fiend.
Demon Eye back in again to say, I like Drew, but if he wins, he would need a Claymore... Sorry, my thing's just moved. He would need a Claymore shock value squash finish. I feel a Money in the Bank would fit Drew better, so Brock still looks strong.
I could see Drew winning off with a Money in the Bank briefcase. I think it'd be a very good holder of that briefcase, actually.
Tim Arndt's got a point here that you actually mentioned earlier in the office, that Brock's whole character, this is from Tim Arndt, Brock's whole character up to this point is that he works as little as possible, so wouldn't he prefer to be the number 30 spot rather than the number one?
Totally agree. Yeah, I love the angle. I just don't get Brock's character motivation for wanting to do this, which is bad storytelling. You know, you go from character first. Nate Craver of WrestleTalk.com has corrected us. Deonna Purrazzo faced Asuka. 4 weeks ago, not Charlotte.
Was I there for that episode?
Maybe not. So that's on me. I just assume Charlotte's been beating everyone.
Okay.
Thank you for correcting us, Dwayne.
Thank you. So,
Paying to correct us.
Yeah. Demonize, I'm sure everyone in the chat was correcting us as well. Demonize said, I don't want to hear King commentate my pick for the Royal Rumble. Now, I will say, this King's gimmick that I really enjoy is when he constantly change who his pick is to win the Royal Rumble.
Mm.
And then when they get thrown out, be like, I didn't think they would anyway.
Yeah.
Like in the tag match today, kept changing who his pick was to win the match. It's the King gimmick I actually quite enjoy.
Which works better when he's an out-and-out heel.
So it's a very good point, yeah. I always just assume he's a heel. I think he is a heel at the moment.
Not a good one.
Okay. Well, Nate drops surname. Dark Timeline. Brock wins and challenges the Fiend.
Yeah, I mean... I wouldn't say that's the darkest timeline. And it's an exciting match. I just don't know. Well, if The Fiend ends up beating Brock at WrestleMania in the main event, that's
pretty big.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind that at all.
Jobber JJ says, is it for the title? Heyman was talking about the title. Dio Madden for the number two spot. What about Goldberg, Lee, Riddle, or Black for number two spot?
It isn't for the title. I like the idea of Dio Madden for the number two spot, but I would just rather... I think the number two spot's quite precious. Have that later. But Madden having a little interaction with Brock's a good idea.
Do you want to take a moment? It's from Marcus Roman. I think people have heard enough from me.
Marcus Roman. Rey versus Andrade was the only match that I really enjoyed the most because it reminds me a lot when I was watching Rey versus Eddie Guerrero years ago.
It's great stuff.
Easily the best match
on
the show.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be the best match of the week for WWE. Well, I keep forgetting NXT exists. Benny Sato Tomo's.
So did WWE.
Benny Sato Tomo's number one fan. Hashtag justice for Randy Anidatson. Did I miss the Naito dance party?
That's only for Wrestle Kingdom reactions and streams.
Maybe it will come back later. Kodiak 1984. Is Drew McIntyre going through a slow face term?
No, he's already turned face.
No, it was a jump cut face term.
It was like an episode of the Wrestle Talk news.
Yeah.
He is just jump cutted into being a face now.
The Brock. If AJ is going to start doing Randy's moves, I want to see Randy start doing the Styles Clash.
Randy's not taking that bump.
No.
He's not taking that bump.
On the subject of WrestleTalk, Roman Loire supports WrestleTalk.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Cheers. Zach Icon Linder, Christmas special was great. Had a big one with the boys.
Yeah.
I forget that this is our first show of Raw. Mm. Of the year, because we did AEW last Thursday. I felt like that was our homecoming episode, but it seems we've got a lot of love from the chats. The Zornice, Luke, did you just say a story for the ladies?
I don't know, did I?
I don't know. I don't remember that bit.
Although, speaking of, because we had an email in on the podcast, and you can listen to it on the podcast outro for this episode, about the very sad Australian fires.
Yes.
And we were talking about there's a lady model that is currently selling nudes for $10 a pop. If you donate $10 a pop to charity, she will send you a nude. So I said to Ollie, maybe we should do a WrestleTalk nude photo shoot with all of the proceeds going to charity to help the Australian fires.
Yeah.
And then you can work out what that price would be.
I just don't know what price I would put on that, even for charity. Please put some suggestions in the comments. Make them serious. None of this 50p nonsense. Kokujadoku.
There you go.
Easy. Nailed it. First time. Probably won't be able to donate during the Rumble, so have my dollar now. Keep being awesome, guys. Still waiting to hear if I got the job as an on-air personality. I'm sorry to break this to you now on the... after you've super chatted, a very generous super chat. But no, if we said at the time, if we don't get back to you, it's not been successful. Yeah.
We had a lot of applications in. I've also just suddenly realized I've talked about something that happens in the outro of the podcast. But if you're listening to this on podcast, you've not got to the outro yet.
Mm. That's good. That's how WWE tells stories sometimes. He's going to make me say it again. Kokujadoku again says, by the way, the spoiler thing was wrong when with Seth Rollins.
I wonder if that was leading. I thought that
right.
Leading into WrestleMania. I think we've said this one before. But then we've definitely said before that Heyman did the or didn't do the spoiler chat before WrestleMania last year.
Mm.
But then a lot of people told us that we were wrong on that and that he didn't say that in the lead up. So we're still unsure. And I'll be honest, I'm not going back to check.
Ghostface 1999. Good morning, team.
Good morning.
We're a team. I know this is not the best place, but can you explain ring or wrestling psychology? That is, there is no answer to this. I was also very confused when I first started properly doing this as my job.
Mm.
The wrestling psychology seems to be the way wrestlers control crowds. So wrestling psychology, it's about telling that story and about how you can manipulate the crowd into having certain reactions for certain spots.
Yeah.
That's as the best as I understand it. Finn Brennan, I don't have BT Sport. I can't watch WWE anymore. Sad face emoji.
Very sad.
We'll get BT Sport then.
Simple answer.
Yeah. Devontae Flowers, no message given, but thank you for your super chat. Roman Luar again, love Ollie and Luke, support WrestleTalk.
Thank you very much.
Roman. The Zornis, Ollie, new decade start in 2021. It's basic math.
Don't be that guy. No one says 1990 was part of the 80s.
I'm 30 years old. I must still be in my 20s. That's the best one.
Yeah.
Look, I love everyone. You're wrong. And the people who agree with Zornis are also wrong. Scumbaiting Weasel. Tape their...
Scambaiting Weasel.
Scambaiting Weasel. What did I say?
Scumbaiting.
Scum. Tape their fist so no one can grab a weapon. Also, WWE title means nothing. Why are people excited? WWE make more stars. Palm over face emoji. Just a generally message of frustration.
It really was.
Feel your pain. Hopefully But Heyman seems to... I know we've got a lot of squash matches... But at least those squash matches are building up new faces. Not working, but... Lincoln Jack Demi, permission to start an out-of-context wrestle talk? Where it's, I guess it's just little clips of a... Go ahead, go
absolutely,
crazy.
Go crazy.
D-Matic The Ghost, Drew McIntyre versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. I can see Drew winning. I don't think that's the right direction they're going, but hopefully eventually.
Mm.
Priyanash Sharma, did you guys notice the Lana Loves BBC sign?
She's just a big fan of Doctor Who.
You know, what?
I don't like BBC's dramas. I find them a bit tedious and boring. But hey, you know, some people like a BBC drama.
Yeah, yeah. Jeremy Bell, someone tell Lashley to watch out for Big Show. He might be the bigger guy Lana warned him about.
Oh no, a heel turn for Big Show just as he comes back would be the most Big Show thing possible.
I want him to turn every week until the Rumble.
Yeah,
and then multiple times in the Rumble. Jeremy Bell, Lana's ex, dot dot dot.
I think that's what he was referring to. Like, yeah. Lana was referring to, yeah.
And Tim Arndt has just kind of last minute super chat. Tim Arndt, of course, one of our faithful swaft under
indeed
viewers. Regarding the charity you guys were talking about, we Australians are desperate for support. But we're not that desperate.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think we were going to do as well as that model lady. But hey, I thought we might be able to raise some money.
Yeah. Well, you know, cheers. Thanks. I think we've had one more super chat come in. Here it is. Is there a Sir Darko 3? Is there a sleeper NXT pick that you have for the Rumble? I think Keith Lee's going to get a big push. I think Matt Riddle could be a surprise.
Yeah.
Maybe not winner, but someone who could eliminate Lesnar. I don't know. You?
Oh, well, I think you're likely going to see Lee, Riddle, Cole, Dunn, maybe Dijakovic, Finn Balor, Kushida.
Finn Balor, of course, yeah.
Yeah, maybe a couple of other members of the Undisputed Era. I've got a couple of quick fire emails I'd like to do. This one comes in from Frank, who just says, you can tell Ollie that he's going to get shot for putting over NordVPN.
I'm going to get shot.
Well, that's what he says. Didn't start the news until 1 minute 45. I'd be pissed. So, I mean, he's saying I would be pissed. So I don't know if he's saying that he was really angry and then was pissed. Or he watched it and be like, if I was really mad about the situation, I would be pissed.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. But, you know, we need to pay for all that free content we give you.
And also got this email in from, where is it I wanted to do? Which one was it? No, it wasn't that one. I could have prepared this, but I wanted to bring up that one because it made me laugh. Here we go. Daniel also emailed in to say, unsure if you're aware, but on the advert you guys have for WWE being on BT Sport, it mentions that it starts on the 15th of January. It's already started.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, that's not us. That's BT's request. BT asked us to record that advert saying that it starts on the 15th. And then they also asked us to start one that said, it starts now.
Yeah.
So the ones where it says it starts on the 15th are running up until the 15th. And then afterwards, it says now. But that was BT's request. It's not us. We also don't put the adverts in.
But yeah, thanks for listening to the adverts. That's a great way to support the show. Frank! That's strange, isn't it? I never really thought about that at the time, because WWE's Sky deal ended on the 31st of December. Mm-hmm. So you'd imagine that you'd just flip over right away. But no, all the material said the 15th, and they did start right away.
Yeah, and it was their very, very specific voiceover thing they requested from us, where it basically there's like six questions that they asked. Like, what do you want to make sure they know? And they just said, don't call us BT Sports.
Not BT Sports.
BT Sport, no plural. And it just said that in every box.
I have tremendous sympathy for that, because I always hated the TV part of WrestleTalk TV. Oh, I wanted to get rid of it for ages. And then I finally did. And then people still say, oh, yeah, I love WrestleTalk TV. No! I've been called that for years.
Hey, dude, I was called Luke Owens.
Yeah, yeah.
For about the first... I mean, it probably still happens to this day. Mm. This also comes in from Brock, and this may sound like a bit of a downer, but I did want to bring this up into something else. Oh, so he says, hey, guys, I'm not sure if you're too aware of this sad news, if it's reached you guys yet, but I thought I'd give it a shout-out anyway. I want to send this email to send my best wishes to my fellow SWAFT Under crew members who are going through it right now whilst facing insane fires currently. Close to 15 million acres have been burnt, over 1,400 properties destroyed, and nearly 500 million animals have been killed since they started a few months ago, and they're still out of control. I drove through some of the destroyed areas a month or so ago for a trip to Sydney, and it's honestly one of the shiftiest things I've ever seen.
Shiftiest?
I mean, I wonder if he meant to say like an S-wordiest thing, maybe. But he's written shiftiest.
Or it's an Australian piece of slang.
Yeah.
It's looking shifty out there, mate.
It could very, very well be.
Please let us know, Brock.
But I wanted to bring this up because did you see that news story yesterday of this model, this lady model, who started a campaign, a Twitter campaign, where she was like, I'll send you nudes if you donate $10 to this charity that's helping with the forest fires.
Well, that's so wholesome.
And she has raised nearly $7,500.
What's her name?
I think she calls herself the Naked Philanthropist or something.
Australia Fire Charity Nude. Caelan Ward. If anyone fancies Googling along at home, hey. Only $10.
Well, okay.
I wouldn't do that.
Well,
of course.
But I was thinking of something along those lines, though. What if we did it?
What, send people her nudes?
No, send people like, so we would do like a naked photo shoot to raise a certain amount for a charity to help with the Australia fires.
Because everyone is, I don't think he said jumping on the bandwagon then. It's a very good thing. I didn't even... Because everyone's jumping on the bandwagon. Should I help Australia? No, my mind just went for the wrong word of everyone's pitching in, yeah. Bandwagon. That would be nice. We would have to do a naked photo shoot, though.
If we got to a certain amount.
What would the amount be?
Well, name your price. How much are you willing to whore yourself out for?
Well, that's it.
For the 500 million animals that have been killed.
Right now, I don't know my price because I haven't had to Lars Sullivan it up, you know, in the early days. So I don't... Yeah, but I'm worried that as soon as I put a value on... this heavenly body. Mm. Sorry, I said hairy wrong. This hairy body. Then I don't, maybe, you know, maybe it will just get knocked down and I'll start. You'll find me on the streets in a couple of months.
Oh.
What's your price?
I don't know, $10? I don't know. No, I don't know.
Everybody's got a price according to Ted DiBiase.
I mean, I don't know what, I was just thinking about, we're trying to think of out-of-the-box ideas to get some eyeballs on WrestleTalk as a brand.
Yes, and we can use charity as the perfect PR cynical move. You learn from the best, Stephanie McMahon.
Exactly. We'll call it our own nudist revolution.
Well, I'm going to close this person's page. She is very attractive. Yeah, so we we've got a lot of swaffed unders. I never even, you know, I've just seen the Australian stuff and it's absolutely awful. I didn't make the connection with our wonderful swaffed under contingent.
Mm-hmm.
Tomo.
Tomo, yeah, absolutely. Of course, Brock.
King Brock.
Jade, who Jade. Does our theme song.
Oh, my Lord. Well, what? Let's put it pod poll. How much do you think I should charge?
Don't give them that naked. Question. Don't give them that question.
I don't, what are we talking about here? I thought that was the main thing. Not helping Australia.
It's just you know, I thought it would be maybe a fun thing to do to raise some money for charity. Because we can use our platform. We've been talking about trying to use our platform better in 2020. We were talking about doing some stuff with Mind maybe to try and like promote mental health awareness. I'm just thinking, I don't know, maybe we can use this platform for some good other than annoying Frank with our free content.
Yeah. Oh, someone's popping in right now.
Oh, it's Pete. Hi, hello, Pete. What's Pete doing here?
Well, I've got a question, but I'll wait till you're done.
I've got a question for you, Chopper. Hey. How much, so all this money would go to charity, how much would you have to make for charity to make a nude photo shoot worth it?
A nude photo shoot?
Yeah.
So this is just you.
I don't know. A lot.
Yeah.
I think.
But what is the... I don't know what a lot is in my head for
I don't
it.
Know what a lot is either, but a lot.
We should do this on the live stream. We're going to put it into the chat.
Maybe a million.
A million?
Bloody hell, for a million!
You're not worth a million!
A million pounds?
Get off your high horse!
Is that what we're calling it these days?
Yeah. No, it's that box. We've got to do the actual show.
Peace out on a box to do the news.
TBC to be continued for another time.
And we've got so many other emails as well. But anyway, we're going to bring this episode to a close. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back on Thursday with the AEW review, the NXT review, and all the other good stuff that we do. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.